Genesis chapter 12. There's so many things I'd like to speak about. Naturally, you always do when you come into, when you preach to your peers. Not trying to impress them. I find you miss such great pearls of glory when you try to critique what, how somebody says something instead of what they say. You know, because everybody knows if you're any kind of a preacher, worth their salt, you have the ability to turn on a crowd, or you should. If you're an entertainer or something, you just don't go out there and just monotonely talk. I mean, a politician, we can prove that. You got a monotone. I don't care how smart he is. But if he's monotone and just kind of dull. But you get somebody maybe not as smart, but says, what do you think about them terrorists? Wanted, dead or alive. And then you find out, you think he's not smart. He's smarter than all of us because he's president. That's really amazing to me. And the one that was dull didn't make it. Don't shout me down. Edwin Edwards is in prison here in Fort Worth, who was our governor of Louisiana, three or four different times. Smart, brilliant man, but I mean very colorful. It wouldn't surprise me to get out of prison, run again, and win. You can just work on the weaknesses a little bit. He's a very brilliant man. And I'm going to deal with some of that in a minute. I want to read a statement the Lord gave me the other day. If our memories are bigger than our dreams, then we're in trouble. You got to write that down. If our memories are bigger than our dreams, then we are in trouble. To way to successfully do things on a daily basis without going into deficit, which I've never have. Not that I'm better than anybody, because remember, as I said earlier, I fight a battle one time. I ain't going to do that. I'm not going to pay for the same real estate twice. I learn. It may come back in a different wrapper, but I don't have time for that because I have a destiny and a destination. And if my memories are bigger than my dreams, I'm in trouble because I have no future. I'm constantly dreaming, and yet years ago, people used to preach against dreams, you know. You got to understand when you read this scripture about seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, most of the people that are saying that think that's us. Did you know that? That you are the preachers with the itching ears and all that kind. Did you know that? That's what they think of us. Because they're broke. They're in trouble. They call us seducers or Gnosticism. That's really amazing to me. I just smile at it. I mean, it's just amazing to me, you know, how much people struggle in life when they really don't have to. I said this, and I think Brother Copeland really loved it one time. Never become, quit trying to become what you already are. My God, it's such a life of frustration. So if your memories are bigger than your dreams, you're in major trouble. Because you got to dream daily. Because, see, there's something in you that makes you dream. I'm going to deal with that in a minute. When you understand that, you know, people say, but Jesse, you don't get in a hurry on nothing. No. Why? I don't let a four-letter word called time defeat me. Amen. See, when I heard the voice of God, it was like the voice of mama. It was going to come to pass. See, mama would threaten to spank me on a Sunday night and forget about it. And remember it on Thursday and do it. Just do it. I said, that's okay. If you forgot, fine. We're all over it. Oh, she said, the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. I don't want to go to hell, Jesse. Come here. Long-term goals keep us from being frustrated by short-term delays of disappointments. Let me say it again. Long-term goals keep us from being frustrated by short-term delays of, or disappointments. You see, you got to have passion. If you want to be a success in life, it takes passion in everything you do. And don't change. Stickability. You got to have passion. You want a marriage, you got to have passion. That means I don't care how old she gets. You just can't. You don't see that. You just love her. It's like Dr. Leroy said, he kisses his wife quickly during the day and take more time at night. I gave that revelation to Kathy last night. No, I'm just joking. Just joking. Hey, I know where I hear something good. Look at Kathy, I'm going to kill that man. No. You didn't say that last night. No, praise God. Hallelujah. Ho, ho, ho. Passion. Do you have a passion for your church? A passion for your ministry. A passion for your destination. You going somewhere. It made no difference what's happening in between. You're going to get there. You're going to get there. Unless you quit. The only person who can defeat you is yourself. You'll write that down. That will help you. The devil can't defeat you. He's already defeated. I don't even fight the devil. Why? He's already defeated. See, I did that before. Jesus did that before. I just walk on him. This is so simple, you need a theologian to help you misunderstand this. You need a religious experience to blow you out the water on just what I just said. When you understand these things and flow in these things, then you'll realize something that God, you've already won, and I've said it before, to such a degree that God's not even worried about it. You see, the Bible said, howbeit when the Spirit of truth has come, he'd guide you in all truth. He didn't say he'd tell you. He said he'd guide you. Now, we all prefer to have a voice. Jesse, do this. That's much nicer. But you see, he would guide us. You know what that means? Let me just give a little illustration. Billy, if you don't mind, can I use you for a second? When the Bible said, howbeit when the Spirit of truth, he would guide you all truth. We would prefer for the Lord to say, your ministry, my ministry, Billy, do this. Okay, Lord. Jesse, do this. But sometimes he don't do that. He guides us. Not saying a word. You do the same thing to your children. Thank you, Billy. Amen. No, your child starts running. And you see them, they're going to whack their head on a table. You don't even say anything. You just put your hand out there and they miss the table. You just guided them. They have no idea you just saved their life. God does that to us quite often. And a lot of times I said, Lord, I would prefer you say something. He said, why should I have to say it? You already know that. And why don't you just walk in what you know instead of trying to walk in what you don't know? See, just guide me. Most of the decisions I make in the ministry are by guidance. Really, they are. Very few is a thus saith the Lord. Then I realize, and I've said it before in the Believers' Convention, how many times you prayed and said, God, if I need some help here, I got to know something. And he just don't say nothing. Finally, you get frustrated and just do something and it works. And you thought it was luck. Oh, man. No, what he said was, I never forgot. I said, God, would you tell me? He said, Jesse, whatever you decide, I will back it. I trust you. Now make a decision. And go with it. See, if you're not getting the full voice of God on something, he's trusting you to make the decision and he'll back it. He gonna back you. You are his child. I mean, you know, he loves you. You're the reason he came. You're the reason he's coming back. We're the best he's got. For God so loved the world, gave his only begotten son, didn't give an angel, gave his son. So when I realized this, I began to understand. And it was very comforting to know that the Lord trusted me. Man, I mean, it blessed me. Now, I still always go to the throne and say, Lord, I have a word. And if he's not seeing me right away, then I realize he wants me to make that decision. But there's been sometimes I say, Lord, he said, do this. Yes, sir. Then I realize that he has a mandate that I hadn't seen. And I have to walk in that flow. But it's wonderful to know that the Lord trusts me, and I don't let people destroy that trust. See what I'm saying? Now, why? There's something in me. Now, I've been trying to figure myself out for 54 years. I was born July the 9th, 1949. I think so. But my mama lied to me a lot about my birth. Because I found out after she was dead, I was illegal. What does that mean, illegal? They wasn't married when I was in the womb. But she changed the dates and took it to the grave. Now, I can say that because she's dead, because I wouldn't say that if she's alive. Me and my oldest brother. Didn't even know it till after she passed away. By accident, my sister decided to go get a copy of my mother's marriage certificate. For years, I was born on my mother's anniversary, I thought. And they celebrated it. Anniversary, Jesse's birthday. I did not know. My sister went to Generette, Louisiana, where my father and mother, my dad's still living. Conveniently forgets. I said, Daddy, did this happen? He said, I don't remember, Jesse. Well, I'm not going to contend with him. He's still my dad and always will be, my mom. So when Deborah came along, she said, you got to see this. She said, I got to tell you something, bro. I said, what's up, Deb? She said, you illegal. She said, Wayne was right. That's my oldest brother. She said, me and Mark were the only legal ones. She said, you know, Mom wasn't born or didn't get married on your birthday. I said, yes, she did. I said, Lord, I found this out, Kathy, 3 years ago? When I was 51. I said, no, we had the birthday party. We had the anniversary. She said, look at this. I went, Mama! But then I realized I came from a heathen family. A man asked me while I was here, Brother Jesse, you got black in you? Most likely. I got everything you can think of in me. My family, we come from France that went to Nova Scotia, where we were called Acadians, got kicked out, slept with everybody from Nova Scotia all the way to Louisiana. Who knows what's in me? I'm black, brown, red, yellow. It don't make no difference. I met a man named Jeffrey Duplantis in Victoria, Texas. 6'7", 320 pounds. Big man. He said, Brother Jesse, you think we related? I said, most likely. And you know why I know that the truth? 4 Duplantis boys left Paris, France. 3 went to the bayous of South Louisiana after they all got kicked out of Nova Scotia. And 1 went to Victoria, Texas. I got a cousin. I wonder why I've been able to hoop like a black man. Hello. Hello, dear. Yeah. Who knows? I'm getting to my message here. So I can't be prejudiced because I'd be prejudiced against myself. I'm everything. What do you want me to be? I can't wait till I get to China. They did something over there somewhere, I bet you. Are you at Genesis 12 yet? I want to talk this morning about the believer's birthright, developing and understanding your spiritual DNA or your Christian DNA. Now, I wasn't going to preach this, but when Happy started, it hit me. You know, like I said earlier, I've been trying to figure out me all these years. Why do I get mad at certain things? Why does that bother me? Well, there's something in me called a genetic code from my family. Now, I don't take the diseases. I shouldn't take any of it because when I was born again, I was a new creature. Old things have passed away. But for when I didn't know that, many times my mama would say, you sound just like your grandpa. You're acting just like your grandpa. You act like your Uncle Dennis. I tell you what, listen to that. And I thought, why? And I even have the same facial feature sometime when I do things. They said, my God, that, and my Uncle Dennis died when I was 14 years old. And they said, Dennis did that. You do just like your Uncle Edward did. Certain things, you know, the way you walk or talk. I come from a very dysfunctional family. Truly dysfunctional. Ask Kathy. Dysfunctional. But, you know, I just learned from my grandfather. He was my superhero, I guess you could say. But he had a lot of problems because he was left on the New Orleans street wharf when he's 5 years old by his mother, turned around and realized he didn't have a mama no more, and walked up to a shrimp boat and said, I need a job. 5 years old. Tough man. Hurt you? Ooh, bad. So he used to tell me, you don't fight, boy. Somebody mess with you. You take them out. The alligator's got to eat. Now you laugh, but he's serious. Ain't no telling how many alligators my grandpa fed. You do what you gotta do. It's called survival. So I never thought of meeting somebody after school and fighting. Oh no. Baseball bat, car, brick, gun, knife, whatever. What happened to Fred? Alligators gotta eat. And my mama gets so mad. Don't you tell that boy that. But he believed that. Mama got him saved 7 days before he died. I was glad of that. He really was a good, he loved us, but he didn't like nobody else. He loved his family, loved his grandpa, but he didn't like nobody else because he thought the world, he had to fight the world to survive. You gotta understand, 5 years old and you have no mama. That's not easy. But in those days, you know, and he met a man on it and he slept on a shrimp boat, took a job. Went to school one day and decided he didn't like it. And ain't nobody gonna tell him any difference. Big man, huge. I'm the smallest one in my family. He's just a big man. So my DNA is in him, or in me. Now, I don't like that. But sometimes when I get angry, I've had Kathy say, go preach a meeting. Get out of here. Because I'm thinking, alligators gotta eat. So I've had to work on that. Work on that. Now, you know, it's funny, but it isn't funny. Because when you're little, big people push you around. But till you find something that can justify their size. Then you got to have a cold heart to do what you got to do. Then you harden yourself. Then after a while, something that can be totally terrible becomes a part of life. It ain't personal, just business. See, now we laugh at that and Hollywood glorifies that, but that's not too glorious if you're on the other side of that coin. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, the believer's birthright, developing and understanding your Christian DNA. I found my DNA in the scripture. He says, now the Lord had said unto Abram in verse 1, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Notice he doesn't know where he goes. If you're going to go with God, you have to walk by faith and not by sight. You may not know your destination, but you will get there. If you read in verse 7, fine, you know, then he tells him where he's going. But he just gets out of town and starts walking the desert, just going. He says, I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So God looks at people as families. If you want to destroy a world, or if you want to destroy a country, a very successful country, you destroy the family unit. See, and then I want to tell you something. You have no loyalty to country or nothing, a code, a family, or God, see. Now, the Bible said we're the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. Is that correct? So this is my father in the faith. Abraham, the seed of Abraham. So when I read the scripture and I see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, I put me in there. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Jesus, Jesse. Now, I have the DNA, spiritual DNA of Abraham. Now, whatever I decide to develop, whether it's the physical DNA of my grandfather or the spiritual DNA of my, quote, faith father, it's all up to me. Its decision is here. Not God. God says choose. Choose life. That you and your seed. You got to understand something about God. He never just looks at you. He looks three generations down. He actually looks 240 years into the future every time he looks at you. The average person in America today lives about 80 years. He sees you, your children, and your children's children. How many times in the scripture you hear God say, I'm not going to bring this upon him because I remember my servant David. He's always going back and forth. Bam, bam. Three generations, never just one. He shows Abraham his inheritance or his heritage or his seed. Look up in the sky. He's crossing all the time. Even if your children haven't been born, even if your grandchildren haven't been born, that God is still have them in their mind when he's speaking to you concerning today. So what you do today will determine what you will be and what you'll receive tomorrow. Amen. Let me say it again. If our memories are bigger than our dreams, we have no future. To way to keep a ministry focused on finance, because church people or pastors deal with tithers, traveling ministers deal with partners. Now those things are beginning to intermingle now, because a lot of quote pastors are now dealing, having their own ministries as well as their church. See, but that's okay. See what I'm saying? And most people are nervous about their partners, and most pastors are nervous about their tithers, because they kind of think it's theirs. You are the steward of your money, but God is the owner of it. Because you said, no, that's my money. No, you don't understand. He gave you the wisdom and gave you the job and the ability to make that money. You are the steward of it, but not the owner. Every spending decision you make is a spiritual decision. So you can either live by choice or chance, because prosperity is not by choice. Excuse me, it's not by chance, it's by choice, what you choose to believe. Now, my DNA came in verse 2, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now, the Lord wasn't looking at my bank account, and he wasn't looking at how much I possess. He said, there is in you the ability to be a blessing. So after I came to the knowledge of Jesus, I quit trying to figure out myself in a sense. What I had to do was suppress the physical DNA so that the spiritual DNA, the believer's birthright, would come up in me, and I would please God not once in a while, but all the time. That every time I talked to God, he would say, just you. In the plane that I used to have, I used to put a sign and say, God been good to Jesse. I used to just look at it. How many times I looked at it and lift my hands up, and my pilots would look back and say, he reading that sign again. I never let myself forget. Because if you forget, you will make the same mistake again. Don't pay for the same real estate twice. What I said earlier, I mean, I have no church problems. I had them. Because let me tell you something, a split's a split no matter what happens, how many times. It's usually the same devil with the same problem, it's just with a different wrapper. So you can fix it the first time. And don't let it bother you any other time. Now, I love people, don't misunderstand, but I don't let them deplete my energy. Because I don't care how much of faith person you can get your energy depleted, because people will pull up. Find out who touches you. Remember, one woman touched Jesus, and it sucked faith and virtue out of him, that he shut him down, that no one understood what he was saying. Who touched me? You got to understand that the devil's crowd can touch you in that manner and suck and deplete you, then he'll attack you. You see what I'm saying? You got to be very careful. Bible said, don't lay hands on anyone suddenly. Just don't let anybody touch you. I'm not just about that physical sense, but both physical and spiritual. You see, so you know what is the reason for this and what do they want and why they want it. So to keep a ministry level financially, you can never let people anytime forget what you've done. Never let them forget what you're doing, and always tell them what you're going to do. Write that down. Can never forget. You got to always go back. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I remember God goes back. If you want a successful financial ministry, how many of y'all want that? No deficit. Hold your hand up. Never a layoff. Hold your hand up. I've never laid off anybody in 25 years of full-time ministry. I've never had a deficit. I'm always doing well. Why? I learned something years ago. I never let people forget what I did. I always let them know what I'm doing, because that has to be accountability and transparency. And then I must tell them what I'm going to do, because if you don't know where you're going, you're not going to know when you get there. You understand what I'm saying? No, the economy ain't got anything to do with this. I never deal with budgets of any kind. I have budgets all the time, because that's good business. If you don't know how much you're spending, you can get took, boy. But I never ask people to meet a budget, because budgets are limits. Budgets are expenses. I deal with vision. let me tell you what I'm going to do. And I also let them see what I'm doing, and I never let them forget what I've done. Now that keeps people that God has placed in you, spiritually, physically, and financially, stirred up to a point like you, they go, wow, you, did you hear what Jesse doing? And you never lose that partnership or that tither because they're fully aware. People need information. They really do. And that must be spoken. Remember, the past, the present, the future. I have proven this. Bishop Butler said something to me one time. He's come to my ministry 2, 3, 4 times. He said, I don't know anybody ever done this. I did it under budget. It's worth a lot of money. I didn't have a financial trouble whatsoever at all, but I did not deter from what God spoke to me, even though I had so many pulling me to do so. No. They don't understand. I'm the architect of my life. And then I realized that my highest person in my ministry could not do this. Because they hadn't heard the voice of God. They only heard mine. So naturally, if they hear mine, they're going to try to change mine. But I refuse to allow that to happen. Because I begin to develop the DNA. Like Abraham. So I get to a point where I consider not, I stagger not, and I'm fully persuaded. I take some time. But it should be a lot shorter in the New Testament church than it was in the older. Because we've learned so much from other people. Now watch this. So I have learned that when I get angry, Catherine said, you shouldn't get angry like that. The Lord gave me this statement. Once we were children of wrath, now we are heirs and possessors of grace, mercy, and peace. So when my anger begins to arise, I say, no, excuse me. I bring this thought. That's not my thought. That's not my thought. Killing, not my thought. My thoughts are lovely, just, good report, pure, virtuous. I am a possessor, not a confessor, a possessor of grace, mercy, and peace. See, we develop the nature of God when we understand our Christian DNA. See, you can understand your physical DNA, but you have got to crucify that. You see? And develop that spiritual DNA to the point that when somebody hurting you bad, you say, forgive them for they know not what they do. That makes no sense at all. That is totally crazy. How many times somebody hurt you? And the law said, forgive them for they know not what they're doing. No, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. What you're saying is your physical DNA is trying to be mixed up with your spiritual DNA. Listen, man, alligators got to eat, Jesus. You created them. Let's feed them. With who? Them. No. That's physical DNA and spiritual DNA mixing. Spiritual DNA must be greater. Because it's not you that live it, but who? Christ. And you live by the what? The faith of the Son of God. Not but yours, by the faith of the Son of God. One man told me today, he said, but Jesse, I did the best I could. I said, anybody can do that. I know a lot of people done that. Do me something you couldn't do. You see, I like what Kathy said the other day, she was preaching. If you push towards your limits, you'll find out you don't have any. You keep moving the trench line. You don't pay for the same real estate twice. That's such a waste. There are going to be some people spend 50 years in ministry and never got out the trench. Fought the same problem with a different wrapper every time. And never wonder why they didn't succeed. Just doing the same thing. Burning the hand. Burn this hand. Burn it this way. Burn it that way. Burn it this way. Burn it that way. Still burn it. We should learn from the very beginning. See, this is for me now. This is talking about this physical DNA. Never tolerate tempers and practices which ought to be forsaken and crucified. I had to stop a preacher the other day. I couldn't help it. I had to do it. I said, I don't care if you throw me out the church. Because he had committed adultery. Okay. That's forgivable. It probably isn't forgettable. But it's forgivable. You know how people are. Now, I forgive him, but. But he, now you got it. You can't go look in the scripture for people that failed so you can help your failure. And he said, you know, David had a problem. I said, David had a problem. Her name was Bathsheba. Really? Bathsheba didn't approach David. David was looking at Bathsheba. He said, the Lord kept him as a prophet. And the Lord kept him, you know, as a king. And I went, stop! Well, people look. I said, David is not your example. Jesus is your example. Don't look for somebody that failed to help you with your failure. You better look at perfection so you can become perfect. You got DNA in you that'll produce perfection. Oh, if you don't like this tape, I'm going to buy it myself. So once I was a child of wrath, now I'm a possessor of grace, mercy, and peace. See, I realized something. On us, there's a stamp of divine creation. We had a revolution. Bam! Then we had a transfiguration. We were revolutionized, and then we were transfigured to look like Christ. Think about that for a minute. That's why Satan hates you, because he sees that stamp of divine creation. Oh, he hates that. Because you see, he's getting uglier by the minute, as Mark was saying. He's just a lizard that lost his legs and became a snake. Is that evolution? Just thought I'd ask. I don't know. Glory to God. Yeah, but you see, you always got somebody telling you, I can't do that. It's the person who's never done anything who is sure nothing can be done. Write that down. It's the person that hasn't done anything that is sure nothing can be done. Let me give you a Chinese proverb. Listen to me. He that doesn't know what to do should not try to stop the person that's doing it. Here's another one. He that slings mud will surely lose ground. Did you get that? You're cutting your own foundation out. Now, we laugh at that, but get that in you, because you may need that next week. So, I realized I was doing wrong all these 50-something years, trying to figure out who I am. It's not me that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. The life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't frustrate the grace of God. Whoa! I have been looking at the wrong DNA. Now, let me find out who I really am. Paul said, I'll show you a mystery. You know, a mystery is not a revelation. To them, it was a mystery. To Paul, it was revealed knowledge. See, a mystery is not a revelation. But to them, it was. But when that is revealed, then you understand Ephesians chapter 2. Turn with me to it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, real quickly. Ephesians 2, verse 10. I like that first statement, Galatians, verse 2, Galatians chapter 2, excuse me. Verse 10. It says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Now you got DNA from Abraham to Christ. Unto good works which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. So in other words, God expects us to develop our believer's birthright, our spiritual DNA. Now, this is what I was saying the other day about, did you pray for Michael, or a while ago, if you pray for Michael Jackson or somebody you don't like, write this down. If you see the best in someone, you can handle the worst in them. Their best is always better than their worst. If you can see the best in someone, you can handle the worst in someone. Why? Because best is always, is better than better. It's best. It's as good as it gets. Wow, because we are his workmanship. So when someone is born again and messes up, did you recognize the best in them? Or did you only notice the worst? Because if you understand the best, you can handle the worst. That's what Jesus saw in us. He saw our best, and he died for our worst. Isn't that amazing? His DNA came forth. Now, I have a right to be a blessing. People say, well, Brother Jesse, you seem to be doing fairly well. I am doing, not fairly well, very well. Very well. It's wonderful. It really is. I give God glory for it. And the reason for it, it's my DNA. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Jesus, and Jesse. Put your name in there. I have a right to. So when people try to criticize me because of my manifestation, when they're looking at his material instead of manifestation, I just say, oh, you don't understand. I have a right. Now, let me tell you something else. A lot of people don't understand it. They think it is and you can take this to extreme, so don't take it to extreme. I'm a negotiator. See, the Jews taught us about retail. If you want to do good business, you better make you some Jewish friends. And listen, because there's some things God placed in the Jewish race that's truly amazing. Now, it can be perverted. Don't misunderstand me. That's not the issue. But I'm saying is, you know, you learn some things. I hate trying stuff. Trying don't work. Trying costs a lot of money and it don't work. How many Bible sales did you try? Now, if they're working, fine. But if they ain't working, if it, you know, do something. I don't like to try. I don't like going to a meeting and say, well, I'm going to try to get this. Tell me what works. I don't want to try to land when I come in that plane. I want to land. I don't want my pilots to say to me today, we're going to try to fly this. We ain't going nowhere. We don't do those. We don't try. I don't try to love Kathy. I got a passion about Kathy. Kathy got a passion about me. Now, we're getting older, but that's okay. You can still have passion. That good thing is just the physical side. I'm talking about we like being together. We enjoy each other's company. Now, sometimes we get angry at each other. Oh, God, yes. I've had God tell me, hearken to her. I said, no, you've never been married. Listen, wait. I'm trying to reason. I'm trying to make my case. Come, let us reason together. It don't work. I got the same thing from God you did. They're not the weaker sex. That's a lie. They control us and make us believe we're the boss. They're brilliant. My daughter one time came up to me. She says, I want to tell you something, Daddy. Because Kathy had a curfew on her. Showed me her driver's license. Of course, she's 32 years old. And she was 17, I think. And she said, if you notice on this driver's license, that I can stay out later. That's what the state of Louisiana says. I said, really? So I took the driver's license. I paid for it. I took it. And the car and the gas. She said, well, why do I have to come at this time? I said, listen, you are my daughter. This is my house. We're going to do what your mama says. You understand me? How many of y'all got a revelation? Mm-hmm. That ain't no mystery. We're going to do what your mama says. Why do I have to come in? I said, because I got to come in. She tells me to come in. What do you want me to do? I tell you what, I've been married 34 years. Kathy's no longer my wife. She's become my mama. She told me to go to bed the other day, and I did. I couldn't believe I did. I went, okay. I couldn't believe I did it. I was in the bed saying, you stupid. What's the matter, man? Aren't you Mufasa, Lion King? And all I heard was, meow, meow, meow. I said, I did it. I couldn't believe I did it. Then she hollered at me from the front, close the door. If you see the best in someone, you can handle the worst. I'm never out the park. I may be in left field, but I'm never out the park. Now, this is all happening while I'm developing that spiritual DNA to be a blessing. Blessing never reduces life to a minimum. Why? Your influence and your charm transmits to others. See, blessing never reduces a life to a minimum. Your influence and charm transmits to others. You are actual signal going off all the time. Even when you sleep, something is emanating from you at all times. Some of your best sermons came when you slept. The problem is you couldn't remember them. You got up feeling good. Said, boy, you ought to heard this sermon. What was it about? I don't remember, but I sure enjoyed it. One time I must have been preaching some Holy Ghost power pack punching service. And I stood up. I was standing up when I woke up in the bed saying, energize, immobilize, and finalize. And the ceiling fan was hitting my hair like that. And Kathy said, get down, fool. She took the ceiling fan out and put a chandelier. She said, what was that message about? I went,
I don't know.
But it was good. See, the gospel can be summed up in one word. What is that? Blessing. But out of blessing come redemption, salvation, regeneration. I love to be a blessing. I love to be an encourager. Why? I've been discouraged. I don't like discouragement. Now, there's weaknesses in me, just as there's weaknesses in us. But one thing, I have a strength. I don't forget what I've done. And I'm not going to pay for that same real estate twice. That's such a waste of time and effort. You cannot be a blessing unless you care. Do you care enough? If possible, never burn a bridge or close a door. But sometimes God will start a bridge burning. Why? Because he got to get you to turn loose. Jerry told me something years ago. He said, never be married to methods. Never be married to methods. Because things change. Don't never wait for change to change you, because if you do, you're going to be behind the curve at all times of your life. You have to be very progressive. Every minister should be multi-generational. Multi-generational. Why? We serve a multi-generational God. God, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He's looking 240 years in the future. You got to understand, you might like the royal telephone hymn, but your kids don't. But you might have somebody in your church that likes that. So you have to be very smart to be multi-generational. You got to be, you know, I mean, why do kids today love rap so much? Now, you know, I was a 60s and 70s person. I like the Doors. Led Zeppelin. That's music, man. It's scriptural, Stairway to Heaven. Ike and Tina Turner. Oh, ha. ZZ Top. Oh, where we in Texas? Charlie Pride. Ferlin Husky. But these kids like all this other stuff. And that's fine. Then I said, you know, let me listen to some of this. I found out it's pretty poetical. Now, some of the stuff they're talking about is not as nasty. Same thing with the Doors, same thing with Led Zeppelin, you know. But, I mean, it was pretty poetical. You know? So you just have to think like a kid. So buy you a jersey. Turn your head around. The gospel can be summed up in one word, blessing. Let me say this. You cannot be a blessing unless you care. I decided that I would care for people. That I would take that responsibility, no matter what that would cost me. That I would care for people. And that I would always be an encourager, Rick. And I've heard some people say some impossible things, but instead of just knocking them down, because the world will do that by itself, the devil don't need any help from anyone to hurt somebody. I just say, yeah, you can. Because maybe they can. If you just give them a little encouragement. Now, I want to say this, and when you understand it, when you understand Christian DNA, now I want you to listen to me. You know why most people are having problems in churches? Because no one is living out of their spirit. Let me explain that. Don't cut me off yet. They're living out of their soul. The mind, the will, and the emotion. 3 John, verse 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. You notice it didn't say your spirit? See, it's very possible, write this down, that your spirit can send a bill to your soul that your soul cannot pay. You have problems with your Trinity. Let me say it again. It's very possible your spirit can send a bill to your soul that your soul cannot pay. See, your spirit's in prosperity. Your soul is in poverty. And that's what the struggle's for. I want you to think about that for a minute. How many people, pastors, you've had people volunteer to drive the school bus or pick up the kids? They go for 3 weeks. And all of a sudden, you can't find them. You got kids out on the street. You get so angry at them. I tell you what, they ain't worth a flip. Yes, no, they're worth a lot. The problem is their spirit sent a bill to their soul that their soul could not pay. Their soul is in poverty. Their spirit. See, everybody's trying to develop your spirit. What for? Your spirit is immediately developed when you say, Jesus, come into my life. It holds all the names of Jehovah. It comes boldly. It says, whoa, let's do this. Your soul says, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. Wait. I can prove it to you. Go to a mall tomorrow. See someone in a wheelchair. You know what your spirit says? Go over there. You just come out of Copeland meeting. Go over there. Grab them. Pull them out that chair. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Your spirit goes, yeah. Your soul says, control yourself, fool. You crazy. Boy, if it don't work, you're going to get a lawsuit. Your soul is in poverty, but your spirit is in prosperity.
Yeah.
That's the struggle. That's why people do not finish their commitment. Their spirit went, ah, glory to God, but their soul was not able to, wasn't developed enough to handle what the spirit was saying. You must always provoke thought and an enlarged horizon. That's what I'm telling you. You see, the problem with church splits, that's not a spirit problem. Nah. Because they all think they're going to heaven, the one that left. That's a soul problem. That's not a spirit problem. Their soul's in poverty. How many times your spirit, brother, some of y'all maybe last night, bless God, let's get involved and buy the jet. Yo! Your spirit go, your soul said, watch it, watch it, watch it, watch it. Can't give that kind of money. First time the Lord ever told me to give $100,000, we had a holy convocation. I said, wait a minute. My spirit had the warmness. It went, yes. Wow. My soul said, Whoa, let's think about this. Let's look at the budget. See, most people give by reason instead of giving by revelation.
Yeah.
What do you mean? When you give by reason, you give by what the CPA says. When you give by revelation, you give by what God supplies. See, when you're giving by revelation, you're giving, all of a sudden your soul is no longer in poverty. It's connecting now with your spirit and you're walking in prosperity. You see, that's the problem. See, some of y'all can't understand a $15,000 dog that Leroy got. You know what the problem is? Your soul's in poverty. Because you think, Jesus, you use his name, not in a glorified, but not in a bad way. Jesus, Lord God, $15,000. See, you can't handle that. Why? Your soul's not at that level that your spirit is. You see, and God will tell you the same thing. Give $15,000 away. But after a while, as it begins to develop, you go, boy, yeah, we're getting involved in that. We were part of this CX team, and last night I turned around, Max said, everybody want to get involved again? And we're already part of it. I said, Kathy, let's do it again. And I looked at Gloria and Jerry, I said, come on, let's do it again. Oh, yeah, let's do it again. Bless God. Well, why not? Now, you could have said, well, I gave once, which is good. Don't misunderstand me. And I'm not trying to raise anything here. What I'm saying is that you have to develop your soul so it can handle the bills that the spirit pays. Then I realized for years, Bishop, I was trying to develop the wrong thing. My spirit, boy, I mean, it gets into contact with God. It's full of Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Sidkenu, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Raha, El Shaddai, El Elyon, Adonai. But it handles that with no problem. It's the soul that is in poverty. And beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul. You see, you can't prosper till your soul gets in line with your spirit prosperity. Then you're going to be able to understand. All of a sudden, you won't feel like I'm getting too much. Have you ever had too much? No. Well, then how do you know what that is? Now, the reason why Dr. Thompson can say those things, let me give a good plug for my friend. Let me tell you why. His soul is in prosperity. See, it's linked with his spirit. So he has no problem telling you that he wears a bigger diamond ring than a drug pusher. And you're just having a flaming fit about that. You want ring, bless God. But see, he's totally comfortable with that. You think it's materialism. It's manifestation him because you see his soul is now is in line with his spirit. And he just says it. And you think it's arrogance and egotistical and just showing off. And it's just manifestation. He just excited. That's why he cries. I love Leroy. He's such a blessing. I love that. That's wonderful. Now, you have to understand, before you get judgmental, your soul may be totally in prosperity on something, and the reason why that person is trying to leave your church, because their soul's in poverty, but your soul and spirit's together in prosperity on this situation, but their soul's not. See, that's the reason why people are having trouble receiving, giving, doing anything, because the soul hasn't made the same commitment as the spirit. And you got to pull those two together. Y'all enjoying this? So you understand what I'm saying here? I'm trying to help you. That's why these problems are happening. It's not because they're bad people. They're living out of their soul. The soulless realm of who they are. Listen to what I'm saying here. Don't try to produce a formula. Produce a new mindset. Instead of trying to get a formula, just produce a new mindset. Now, when I said something, I began to develop that I would not. Now, watch this. Now, Rick said this. You know, I mean, that doesn't mean the devil don't fight you. He gonna fight you. But you don't have to receive the fight. You just walk on it. Just keep going. That doesn't mean, I say it'll be easy. But you're producing a new mindset. Bob said, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Why did God say that? Because he wants your soul poverty out of the way to link up with your spirit prosperity. So after a while, you're able to see these things and flow in these things. Now, let me hurry up and close with this. You don't try to produce a formula. You produce a new mindset. Only the person who is intimate with the Most High will be entrusted with the secrets of God. The blessed life is a life of faith. Do you know becoming intimate with, I'm going to say something, oh, I hope your soul can handle this. Becoming intimate with God is not necessarily a lot of praying. It's a lot of living. I find most people praying can't hear a word God's saying because they're talking too much. Most of my prayers are silent. No, I'm not keeping them inside myself. Silent. I come into his presence and shut up. And I don't leave right away. Because sometimes God takes his time. See, that's what I thought. But he's always immediate. The power of the Lord is always present, but it's not always received. The reason why it's taking time is getting through the cobwebs of my soul so it can get to my spirit. Now, the body says, I'll do anything you say. Just tell me something. The body is just a habit forming, looking for whatever. You stuff a lot of food down the body. I mean, it's coming down the pike. It says, they're feeding us a lot because evidently they see something we don't see. It must be famine, so we got a store. That's what it's thinking. That's exactly what it's thinking. You're putting too much down. They say, well, you know, must want to fill up the... And after a while, it'll store as much as it can back here. Then it begins to spread to right here. Then it comes over this way. Down the legs, under the arms, and the last place to get it is the back. It's called back fat. You never notice it because you never look behind. And then if it fills up the back and this and that, it'll get right here and you start getting ripples on your head. It's just trying to go higher. Now the body's saying, there must be a famine coming. Because we ain't never had this much prosperity in our life. This is a Joseph thing, and they are saving this for 7 years. The body don't know. It's just, it's moving by dictate. Right? Then when you cut it off, it comes back under the pipe. Where the food? Where the food? It'll send a little hunger pain. Food! Where the food? Because you have trained it to store, store, store. That's why he goes, something ain't right. Then he goes, oh, must be a famine. Slow down. Oh, excuse me. Bad, bad. Something's going to happen. Things are bad upstairs. Slow the metabolism down. You always lose weight from the inside, never from the outside. That's why you get mad after doing the first and second week. I don't see no results. You don't see no results. Because, see, you see in the outside. But it ain't dealing with your outside. It's dealing with your inside. So all of a sudden, the body goes, well, it don't look like nothing coming down the pipe. And it grabs a little piece of storage. You don't notice it yet. It's eating from the inside. And all of a sudden, you get on a scale, and you're frustrated. And you blow your diet. You might eat something because you're mad. And the next morning, you get on, and you lost 3 pounds. What happened? Well, you see, all of a sudden, finally the weight loss began to register on the outside. And all of a sudden, you can get to where you want. Because the body going to do whatever you decide to do. You pump it, it's going to get pumped. Well, your problem is the soul. How many times a piece of chicken called you out of bed? A I like Phyllis's way. But Phyllis said something the other day. She said, I said, Phyllis, you've been on a diet. What kind of diet? She said, I eat Baham lead. That couldn't work for me. I'd be led in every place I could get my hands on as I'm led. But you see, what has happened is, here, the soul poverty left, and it connected. And things begin to happen. Let me close with this. If your Trinity is out of tune, the most skillful hand can produce no harmony. I often wonder why God was so successful, because the Trinity is perfectly in tune with each other. To the point that, oh, Jews can't handle it. Hear, Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Muslims can't handle that. They're so perfectly in tune that they're one, yet they're three. Functioning perfect on every area. That's what I'm learning in my DNA. I want my soul to function like my spirit, because if I can get my spirit and my soul to function perfectly together, my body will fall in line automatically, not some of the time, but every time. So as I go through the scripture, I find myself in every page because it was wrote for me. So as I'm growing, I'm slowly destroying this physical DNA. I've done it in I'm the only Duplantis ever made it to the 40s without a heart attack. All my brothers, everybody's had them. I'm now into the 50s. I give God, I destroyed that. Thank God, that genetic code. By actually, Kathy helping me, don't you speak like them. So, I mean, I'm not confessing this, but if I died today, I didn't beat the family. But I'm not planning on doing that. Why? I can't die until Kathy tells me I can. And that's fine with me. Well, I learned that from Kenneth Copeland. I learned that from you, Brother Copeland. I heard you say one time at a believers' convention, the Lord told me when I'm going to die, and he named the year, and he said, glory ain't doing, glory or two. Glory's out. Glory didn't even have. Okay. That, you know, and I, she didn't say nothing. She just went, well, that sounds good. I wasn't planning on dying anyway. You know, why can't you just go together? Not in an accident. How about passion? I would say, it's time to leave, sweetheart. Let's go together. We've been together for years. We never thought of that. Death and life's in the power of the tongue, so we just accept what comes down. We just never thought of exercise. Now, you see, the soul can't handle that. It goes, But the spirit can. Let me say this. Hurry, because, God, I apologize for the time. There's something in the scripture that a lot of Word of Faith people don't like, because they think it's poverty. I know how to base, and I know how to abound. Let me explain that for a second. Soul poverty, spirit prosperity. Remember, your spirit can send a bill to your soul that your soul can't pay. This is what you have to develop your people in church. Start preaching to their soul to develop it like their spirit. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of your church problems are going to dissolve away. Things are going to be happy. Now, let me explain this. Any man love to be blessed? I do. I enjoy being blessed. I can go anywhere I want to go in the world today, give God the glory, not bragging. I can buy anything I want. Man, I got two lamps in my house that cost more than my first house. Two lamps. Two bedroom lamps cost more than my first house. Yeah. I got one piece of furniture in my foyer of my house now that cost them more than my whole house that I'm living in. We're going to build a... Man, I'm not bragging on it. You know, you develop. I find... Your tastes get better because you're able to see things that you never thought you could see, go where you never could go. And I won't get into that because Kathy, you know, because Jesse lets you see only what you want to see. You see, I do protect myself, but I'm still transparent and accountable. But watch this. I've learned, let me say this, let me make it simple. Never lose your faith to sacrifice. Now, some of you may not like that. I know how to abase. I know how to abound. I know how to sleep with the dirt. And I know how to be at the Grand Wailea or at the Venetian in Vegas in the highest suite there. And a teepee in Montana. Remember that, Brother Cole? me and Brother Copeland John, we slept in a teepee. The Indians were in the house. You don't think, you know what they're thinking? Stupid white man. But we were excited about me and John and Brother Copeland. We was in a teepee. I'm serious, all the Indians were. I've never learned, lost my faith to sacrifice. Now, what does that mean? Some people do the best they can. And it's sacrifice to you that are believing the word of God. They've done the best they could. Now, if they're ripping you, that's a totally different thing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking, you can see that they did the best they can. But to you, it is pure sacrifice. Because you hadn't been there in years. You hadn't slept in that kind of hotel or something happened in years. See, we can all advance, but we never want to think about going back. I'm not talking about going back. I'm saying is you may have to go back, not just so you can learn something, so you can get this person that's way back to come up front. And it may not be able to be the blessing to you that maybe another person can, but that should not stop you from going back. I don't charge anybody when I come. I'm not saying that for meetings. I got all the meetings I can handle. My point is this. The reason why I do that, it gives me such freedom to go anywhere I want to go, whether it's a church of 20 or 20,000. Because I've learned how to abase, and I've learned how to abound. I haven't lost my faith to sacrifice. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When I'm preaching to 12, I don't like it. I'd rather preach to a big crowd. Who wouldn't? But you know, that might be the chosen 12 the Lord's going to use to touch that city. So, and I've had some of the preachers get so mad at me. Why did you go that small and you didn't come to me? Because the Lord told me to. Well, they didn't treat you like I would. That is so true. They treated me better. They gave me their best, and you gave me an honorarium. Don't shout me down with the preaching good. I knew it. I didn't want to finish this way. I was trying to get away from it, but the Lord said, say it. Nothing wrong with an honorarium because they honor you. Don't misunderstand me. You see my point? So I realized that I should be comfortable in all things if I develop my spiritual DNA. But boy, I tell you what, sometimes I'll hit a string. Creflo, I'll hit a pretty tough string. And the Lord, and I like it when I get somewhere. You get around Creflo, you're going to get blessed. I mean, just the way it is. You're just going to get blessed. And sometimes I go, whoo, Lord Jesus, it's just a blessing. Take you to Madison Square Garden. He impressed me. I'm looking at, what's that guy's name? Frank Sinatra, Hulk Hogan, all these pictures on the walls, all these stars. All of a sudden, I see a man like this. It's Creflo Dollar on the wall at Madison Square Garden. I'm all, wow, Creflo. He said, do you know how much that photograph cost me? But that was such an honor. But you know that sometimes I've seen Creflo just humble himself, just be a blessing to people, just, you know, just to take the time. That's a wonderful thing. Hadn't lost your faith to sacrifice. Now, that means you're going back, not to live there, to bring someone up. We're constantly advancing and never. See, going back doesn't mean you're backing up. You have to go get somebody and do the best they can. And then you bring them to that level and develop. And then you tell them, don't forget. Don't forget. It's nice to have the diamonds. Sure is. Whew, Lord. Bling, bling. Yeah, a little bling, bling. Now, you white people don't know what that is, but the black people say, what's up, bro? It's good to have the bling, bling. Nice. Don't misunderstand me. But I can wear a Timex. They say the same thing. But this is an investment. My daughter said, Daddy, can't you ever do something without thinking of an investment? I said, you better thank God, Jody, because you get it. She went, forget what I just said, Daddy. You get it all, baby. I'm your Abraham. You my Isaac. Where's my Jacob? Where's my Joseph? thinking ahead all the time. Spiritual DNA, the believer's birthright. Did you enjoy it today? Give Jesus a hand clap.